Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with 92-year-old Max de St. Jour of Orem, Utah, perhaps the nation's oldest delivery driver. If you know of an older one, let me know. I'm looking forward to the next few episodes that I have to share with you. Over the last few weeks, I've spent some time with some remarkable veterans in Oregon, California, Utah, and Arizona, and you're going to hear their stories in the weeks ahead, including the amazing story of the Candy Bomber, or Uncle Wackelflügel, as they know him in Germany because of the Berlin airlift. Remember, if there's a veteran in your life that you'd like me to catch up with, you can submit the name and some information at hometownheroesradio.com. When we left off with Max de St. Jour, we discussed his experience in a couple of journeys to the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And don't forget, the Honor Flight Network continues to take veterans all over the country to Washington to see that memorial absolutely free of charge. And Max, you shared how the memory of your late brother Francis, who was killed while fighting in Anzio, Italy in April of 1944, how that was on your mind as you visited the National World War II Memorial.
I guess the other thing I'm curious about is, in light of your brother's death, did that affect at all the way you lived and whether or not you took things for granted or the responsibility you felt for your life?
Well, I think for years and years, I made the crosses and set them up at the Orem Cemetery, veterans crosses, at least 30 years. And I've been in the Veterans Foreign Wars for 60 years, and I kind of felt like that was one way to honor him.
Honor him and honoring a lot of other guys in the process. That trip to Washington, D.C., to see that World War II memorial and see all your buddies that you served with in England, what did you get out of that? What struck you about that memorial? And did it capture what it's supposed to capture?
Oh, I think so. It's a beautiful memorial. You know, I don't know how to describe it. It was quite impressive to me.
Is there one part of it? Because it's a pretty big place, and there are a lot of different things you can look at. The different storyboards depicting different battles. Of course, every state is listed there with its own pillar, the fountain, the wall of gold stars. Is there part of it that kind of held the most meaning for you or got to you the most?
Well, I just more or less wanted to look where the state of Utah was on there, you know.
Well, and I know I'm bouncing around here. You mentioned that your brother had been married before he went over. Did you have a special someone you were hoping to come back to when you were overseas?
No, I didn't have anybody in particular.
So you never would have met her if you didn't get back from over there.
That's right.
And I mentioned it earlier, you're still working at age 92. I don't know if there's a record for the elder statesman among all the delivery drivers in the country, but tell me what you're doing these days and why you're still working at 92.
Well, I feel like I should stay active as much as I can, you know. And I deliver parts, and there's guys that I deliver parts to that used to work for me when I worked for Ford. You know, it's just... I like to go shoot the bull with them, you know, and it just gives me something to do, and I don't know how much longer I'll do it, but the kids all want me to quit now, you know, but I'll just have to see how things go.
Well, and that even got you a trip to Washington, D.C., huh? You got a trip there because you were, tell me what that award was?
The oldest worker in Utah, outstanding worker, I think they called it, outstanding older worker. And that was an all expense paid trip back there. Really nice.
Something tells me you probably got a few handshakes and congratulations from some bigwigs back there.
Yeah. It was they had a person from each state. There was some of them pretty old.
You weren't the oldest one there, huh?
No, not then. I probably would be now. But
Well, I talk about bigwigs. I guess that's the other thing that comes to mind. You were over there in England for quite a long time. Did you ever have some famous folks or some notable names that came through where you were?
Oh, yeah. When I was taking basic training, you know, I took basic training at Atlantic City, and I was on guard duty this one day, and that's where Glenn Miller was forming the band. And then we had Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, Joe Louis, Billy Conn, all of them come to our base there. at one time or another, you know.
Not Joe Louis and Billy Conn at the same time where you could get them in a ring together, huh?
They were traveling together, but they weren't in the ring.
And you didn't volunteer to get in the ring with them?
No, no.
You know, and I've talked to some folks who have some real strong memories about some of those USO shows and all that. And, you know, some people say, what does that have to do with fighting a war? What did it mean to you guys that, you know, these big stars who you saw in the movies and you heard on the radio would come out there and perform for you?
It was great. I mean, it was something that I had a lot of admiration for them, you know. I admired them. Bob Hope, he was all over the world. In fact, was it Glenn Miller? He came up missing, you know. He was at our base a couple of days before that. In fact, his band was still there at our base when...
When his plane went down?
Yeah, they never did find him or anything, so...
That must have been a pretty heavy feeling there at your base, then.
Yeah, everybody felt bad about that.
Well, before I forget, I want to say thank you for serving our country. Well, before I forget, I want to say thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us about it. Thank you for setting the bar for those of us who want to finish strong, because it looks like you're nowhere near the finish line. You've got so much momentum going here. When it comes to World War II, since most of us... including all your descendants, which is a pretty big number, none of us were alive while World War II was going on. We didn't live through it and feel it and experience it the way you did. What do you think that people today need to know about that time in our nation's history and why it still matters?
Well, I think they should teach a little more of it in school. I mean, there's so many of these kids that don't have a clue. They don't have an idea what went on. You know, I think that they should know, but I think they... That's one thing where they're lax, is they're not teaching enough history about World War II.
What gives you the most pride, personally, as a World War II veteran?
Oh, just being able to serve, I guess. I was no hero or anything like that. I was just proud to serve.
Well, and we're proud of you and proud to know you. At hometownheroesradio.com, you can find a link to a news story about Max when he was given that Prime Time Award from an organization called Experience Works. He was taken to the White House and the National World War II Memorial. The headline calls him an Iron Man, and that was 7 years ago. He's still going. What an example he set for his family. That family includes children, grandchildren, great-grandkids, and even great-great-grandkids now. And since his son Dave is here, maybe he can add a little more perspective. So Dave, your dad mentioned putting crosses at the Orem Cemetery as a tribute to his brother and other servicemen, but it didn't sound like that big a deal when he mentioned it. He was very humble about it, but this was a pretty big undertaking, and he got the whole family involved?
Yeah, for approximately 30 years, our Memorial Day weekend was spent honoring the veterans at the Orem Cemetery, and my dad would build the crosses, built the nameplates, the whole part of the crosses, and we would spend the weekend putting them up at the cemetery in rows and to honor the veterans. And I'm really proud of the work that he did, you know, for those 30 years that we all did to honor our veterans. And that was just one way he showed, you know, honoring the other veterans and his brother and his colleagues. So
I imagine that made a pretty strong impression on you and probably shaped your perspective on those who have fought and died for us.
Oh, we're really a patriotic family and honor our veterans and love them all. And yeah, we're really proud of his service and all his brothers and it's a family thing.
And that tradition he started with the crosses didn't stop when he stopped doing it. That's something that lives on, right?
Yeah, the American Legion in the town now takes care of it. They have a trailer for them all, and they have help from some of the local organizations to put them all up that we used to do as a family. Now there's an army of 40 or 50 helpers that do it now, but yeah, we were honored to do it.
I know he's sitting right here, but I get the sense that you're pretty proud of this guy, that you have a lot of respect for him. What does he mean to you? And when you understand what he and all his brothers did in World War II, how does that make you feel about him?
I just think that our freedom and stuff, it just needs to be recognized what all these guys did back then. And all the veterans, you know, we're just honored that he got to serve, and we're honored that his brothers got to serve and what they accomplished and what all of the veterans have accomplished in all the wars. So, and my big brother, yeah, my oldest brother is an Army veteran also. He was in for over 30 years. He was drafted, but spent 30 years in the service, and he's also a veteran, and so we're a patriotic family, I think.
Have you guys started planning the party you're going to have when he renews his driver's license at age 100?
Yeah, we're a little worried about that, but I think he's still a pretty good driver, even at 92, so we don't worry about him too much, just on snowy roads.
Well, driving over here on State Street today, they wouldn't let me go more than 20 miles an hour anyway, so maybe it's safe out there. Max, I didn't ask you, what's your secret? You're 92, you're still driving, you're still working, everybody can hear how sharp you are.
I've got a goal. My goal is to be shot at by a jealous husband at my 100th birthday.
You don't have a specific jealous husband in mind, do you?
No, not yet.
I hope you know how to duck.
Yeah, you heard me say, I said shot at.
Not shot.
Right.
Well, for the rest of you husbands out there, at least we've all been forewarned. And if you really want to be on the lookout, check out the photos of Max at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. You never know what you're going to hear on this show, but so often it's something you've never heard before. Thanks for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time, and reminding you once more that freedom is not free.